All right, now it's officially over. So let's get this party started. And by party, I mean Barstool RDT, Eric Arditi can go F himself. He's a Titans fan. He's a jerk. I bet you feel really good over there.
I mean, it's a win over a decent team. I'm not going to sit here and gloat. It's, you know, they didn't beat the Eagles or anything. That's just another – I feel like they just beat the Colts. Like,
oh,
it should have happened, you know.
Oh, it's so sad.
I don't
want
to, toot their own horn. Oh. But.
All right. It's Press Box's Project Game Day. It's time for the postgame show. I'm Glenn. He is Eric Arditi. You know him as Barstool RDT from BarstoolSports.com, where he typically is talking about the Orioles, but we bring him in here periodically to hang out with us and talk some football as well, and we're happy to have him today since my co-host, Sarita Hubbard, is up in New York this weekend, so it's good to see you, pal. Appreciate you coming in and hanging out.
Absolutely.
We thought it'd be interesting to have you in, particularly because you're a Titans fan, mm-hmm. and that does mean that I lost that bet to you. And so before we get out of here for the postgame show, I'm going to have to perform a little Shania Twain. I am not happy about that, as that won the vote that we put up earlier.
What was the breakdown of the vote?
It was pretty – actually, it was a little bit more split. I just went to a website and it said, what are the most embarrassing country songs? And these are four of the options that I saw, and so those are the four that I went with as options.
Yeah,
it was like Achy Breaky Heart,
Honky
Tonk, Badonkadonk.
Like when we were talking earlier this week, you said, you know, pick a country song. I was like, gun to my head, I don't think I could name one country song.
Good for
song.
You, by the way.
That's good for you.
Unfortunately, I actually know all of these songs. 46% of the vote. And
I just added another vote.
Oh,
to
did
that
you?
Too,
yeah,
so,
man, I feel like a woman.
Yep.
For that's the winner. 21% of the vote went to Honky Tonk, Badonkadonk, then Achy Breaky Heart, and She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy came in last with 15% of the vote. So I will, before we get out of here today, I will perform, quote, perform.
Is that what it's called?
Man, I Feel Like a Woman. There's so much to talk about from this one. I said at halftime, and I feel like I got all of my Breshad Perriman vitriol out at halftime, Eric, but from a Ravens perspective, that to me is the biggest story of today and the biggest story of things that could change over the course of the next 2 weeks as the Ravens now go into their bye at 4-5, so they won't play again for 2 weeks. What can actually change? Well, they could change coordinators, for example. That's something that could change. They could decide to be done with the Marty Morningwed experiment, mm-hmm. Which has failed miserably. There's just no other way of saying it. They could do that. Mm-hmm. At this point, it feels like sort of shuffling the deck chairs. I don't think that they have the personnel that Greg Roman could really do anything better with. I know a lot of people are hot and bothered because Jason Lockenfour reported that Gary Kubiak would be interested, not necessarily in the Ravens job, but just in being a coordinator
again
in the NFL. And all of a sudden, Ravens fans say, hey, please come over here.
Come on back, Gary.
And if anybody could get something more out of this group, I would say it's Gary Kubiak.
We saw him do it.
Correct.
Before. Yeah.
With less. He does. He regularly does more with less. But if Ronnie Stanley's hurt to boot, like if on top of everything else that's going on with the Ravens, if Ronnie Stanley's hurt and is going to miss time, I don't even think that the genius of Gary Kubiak can fix this.
You're not going to find, like I said, Belichick could come in here and he's not.
Yeah,
you know, he wouldn't turn it around.
There's just nothing going on there.
Yeah.
I think that there is a real Breshad Perriman decision to be made, which is, can this dude even be on the field?
Yeah.
Can you continue to put this guy out there when he regularly hurts the football team? And it's one thing, it's to the point where it's one thing to say, okay, so he dropped some balls. A lot of receivers drop balls. Look, in Torrey Smith's first couple of years, he dropped some balls. He made far more plays than Breshad Perriman ever made.
Oh, absolutely.
And that, obviously, he went on to become a very good receiver for the Ravens as his career went on. But on top of that, when it comes to Breshad Perriman, for some reason, it's not just that he's dropping the ball. He's giving the ball to the other team.
It's like he's playing volleyball, and it's just hitting him in the hands, and he's setting it up. I mean, like the interception today. I think that he's had, what, two or three this year where he literally almost bats it
up.
It's
staggering.
Yeah,
and
I feel like you don't see that play happen that often with one guy, but it's like, I know, well, it's happened to, Chris Moore, it happened to a few weeks ago, too, I think, in the Bears game. But it's just like every time I was reading, so I think it was Derek Arnold today, was like, oh, and he was calling the, or he was predicting the game, and he said something about Flacco's going to throw an interception, and it's going to be off the hands of, not like insert receiver here.
That's what's happening.
It happens
season.
A lot.
Now, the second interception,
a ton.
The second interception that Joe threw today, completely inexcusable, off the back foot, and it does go into the, are you getting to the point, I've referred to it as O-F it Joe, right?
Yeah.
You just get to a point where you say, everything's a disaster.
I'm chucking it.
I'm just going to chuck the ball and see what happens, and nothing good ever comes from that.
Nope. The Mile High Miracle.
Well, I mean, I don't think that was. I actually don't think that was OFA Joe. I think that was legitimately. That was I know how fast that dude is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give an opportunity to go make a play.
And
this
I
isn't.
Hope, what's his name? Raheem Moore makes the worst
right,
play of his
right,
career.
Right, right, right. Well, it certainly helped. There's no question about that. It helped a great deal. Let me start getting to some comments that are coming in. I want to get your thoughts as we react to the Ravens losing today in Nashville to fall to 4-5. From Jack, Joe Cool needs to show some fire, looking more and more disinterested each week, each year. This is such a – we've dealt with this a million times. Joe Flacco is not changing. This is who he is. And I don't think that would work. I think that it would be difficult for a guy to be the same way every day and then suddenly show up and be a different guy.
And just be a spark plug and be that guy who comes in the locker room yelling and hollering and giving speeches. Yeah, I don't think that's him.
The argument from the guys that have played with Joe Flacco is that what they like most about playing with Joe Flacco is that in situations where somebody else might be completely panicked and screaming and losing their mind.
Cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, he's the guy that's got things under control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've never bought into that. Look, if Joe wants to do that, that's great. I don't think that's going to make Breshad Perriman catch the football. Yeah. I don't think the reason why Breshad Perriman is dropping the football is because Joe Flacco isn't more animated. Yeah. I don't think that's going to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
From Steve, miscommunication between Joe and the wide receiver. Well, I mean, there was a few of those during the day. There's been a lot of those during the course of the season. I don't know, like the Chris Moore one in the last drive. No clue. I mean, this is the problem. I say maybe you have Breshad Perriman not be on the field, but what are your other options?
Yeah, you going to throw Michael Campanaro there? Or like,
don't want to do that if he's healthy.
Like, well, then you got no one else.
Correct. That's what you got. Paul, Rich Gannon was on point today, roasting the Ravens offense pretty much on every drive. Was this Marty's last game? I'll keep coming back to this. At some point, I feel as though if you've held every other coordinator to a standard, you have to hold the current coordinator to the same standard.
Someone, yeah.
And it's easy to say, I don't think it's going to fix anything to fire Marty Morningweg. And I don't. I don't think this Ravens offense has another level based on the personnel that are out there that they can get to. I don't think it's a good group talent-wise. But I have no problem saying we held the last guy to a standard. He didn't reach that standard. We got to hold you to the same standard, Chief, even if we didn't build the right team. And I think it's on the Ravens. I don't think they gave – I don't think Marty Morningweg is a good offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I think it's inexcusable that he's calling plays. I think that was this was a bad decision to begin with.
Yeah.
It was insane for them to bring him back this year. But all that being said, I don't think it's his fault that the Ravens offense is terrible. I just don't think that he's doing anything.
Even like today, like I don't think the offense played bad today. Like they didn't look. I mean, they scored 20 today, where they scored 40 10 days ago.
Yeah. Now, when they scored 40 10 days ago, two of those were pick sixes.
That's true. I went to bed with like 8 minutes left.
Yeah.
In the
right.
Fourth,
all of a sudden,
and
you looked
like
up.
28-0, and I, you know, yeah, I wake up and I see the 40. But yeah, I mean, like Macklin 8 for 98. Flacco threw the ball again a ton, 52 times. He had 261.
They didn't. They were not able to establish the run the way that they want to.
Titans front seven is okay, but I thought that they would have. Collins only had 13 carries. But it's also like they knew every time Collins was in the game.
But this is the constant problem with Alex Collins. And I keep coming back to the team looks to be better. And I get this is tough because Alex Collins is definitely the better runner.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this world in which what do the Ravens want to be versus what practically is going to win for you in the NFL. What they want to be is a team that runs the ball and wins with defense. And they were able to do that against Miami.
Yeah.
Right? Their defense was excellent. They were able to run the ball.
You can do that against Matt Moore.
You can, yeah, correct. You can do that against Miami. In the NFL, typically, you've got to score more points. And Alex Collins, for whatever reason, they don't seem to trust throwing the football to him.
Yeah.
They don't seem to trust him as a pass blocker.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem to want him on the field.
In key situations and third downs.
Right, correct. And so because of that, when he's on the field, it's a little bit more easy for teams to know what it is they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
When Buck Allen's on the field, there's more threat to do a number of things. There's way more of a threat that you're going to throw the football to him, that good things can happen that way.
Or you'll leave him in as a pass blocker.
Correct. They trust him as a pass blocker.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly hurt them to not have Nick Boyle on the field today as far as run blocking is concerned. They are a much better team when Nick Boyle is there to be a run blocker. He has proven himself to be very valuable in that capacity, and it hurt them to not have them out there today.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, this is a difficult situation. I like Alex Collins. He's a good runner. If you don't trust him to do the other things, I don't think you can keep leaving him on the field just to leave him on the field.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's explosive. You know, he was averaging 6 yards a carry coming in. He had 13 for 43 today. He had a long of 14. But, I mean, he had some runs in the first quarter early on where I'm
like,
oh,
maybe,
this is
going
to be enough. He's going to have another 100-yard game. And then they kind of just, like I said, they knew when
he was coming
in. But
it's a chicken and the egg thing to me, Eric. It's a if the game goes a certain way, then Alex Collins would have a great game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the game will go a certain way because Alex Collins is running the ball. It's to me way more. This is what people always say: hey, just run the ball 25 times, right? Yeah. If a back gets 25 carries, then you win.
Yeah, then teams are X and you know 40-2 or something.
So you just
like
come
that.
Out and run 25 run plays and get your win, right? That's the way that it works. It's about the game situation. It's a chicken and the egg type of deal, and so I get that Alex Collins has looked really good. If you don't trust him to do the other things, I think you have to have more Buck Allen on the field. And obviously this will be compounded by we're expecting to see Danny Woodhead get back on the field after the bye, as that's when he's eligible to come off the PUP list. From Paul, the Ravens front office spent and devoted offseason to investment on defense to stop fourth quarter meltdowns. Then with 8 minutes left in the game, needing a three and out, the defense allowed the Titans to drive the field and take 5 minutes off the clock. SMH. Agreed. Wholeheartedly agreed. This goes back to the construction of the team thing. They constructed a team where they invested very little on the offensive side of the ball, outside of obviously the quarterback. We all know that they've invested plenty of money in the quarterback. But it doesn't just work that way, as I keep saying over and over again. The people that like to say, hey, when you spend money on your quarterback, that he's supposed to make other guys better, there is no example of that. You can't.
It doesn't matter if he's throwing guys like me. Like.
Correct. You keep trying to tell me about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Even if that's true, they're Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It's not even really true because the Patriots constantly
cycle in receivers, guys.
Correct.
Who played lacrosse at Penn State.
Well, there's that. Or they go out and they say, hey, look, what? You had the best offensive year in the history of football. You know what we're going to do? Trade a first round pick for Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Because we need to keep giving you more to work with. Mm-hmm. The teams don't do this thing that the Ravens do, or that we're pretending is the thing where we say, well, the quarterback has just got to make other guys better. That's not a real thing.
It's a thing a little bit, but like you can't rest your hat on that. Like you can't die on that hill. Like,
You better not die on that hill. And again, look around. The Falcons don't try to win without Julio Jones. They wouldn't just say, hey, you know what? We gave Matt Ryan a bunch of money. We can just let Julio Jones walk, and he can win with whoever they want to win. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It's just not real. All that being said, this was the point. Their point in the offseason was, look at what happened at the end of the year in Pittsburgh, where we needed the defense to make plays,
make one stop,
and they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to invest more in this defense to get those stops.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice thought. I disagreed even with the thought.
Mm-hmm.
But in practicality, what they needed to do was find somebody to get after quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And while they spent two of their first three draft picks on pass rushers, neither one of them has proven to be a football player so far. Tim Williams maybe one day might be a football player, I guess. I have no idea. He's not even been on the field in order to really show that he could be a football player at some point. Tyus Bowser.
Big penalty today.
Yeah, Ted's right. That was a huge penalty today. And he's, again, had some moments where he's looked kind of okay, but neither one of them has proven to be a guy that can go, you can count on to
they
get after a quarterback.
Consistency, yeah.
Correct. Terrell Suggs had those two games at the beginning of the season. Everybody's like, oh, Terrell Suggs is back.
Mm-hmm.
He's been pedestrian at best.
He had that sack right before half today, and then he decided to dance for 14 seconds.
Right, that was what he did. That was what he had to offer today.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was what he had to offer. They have nobody that you can count on to make the play when the game is on the line. Now, credit Eric Weddle for playing. You know, he took advantage of a terrible throw from Marcus Mariota earlier in the quarter in order to give them a chance to get back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't have somebody that's a playmaker that you can rely on in those situations. Tony Jefferson, who was their big offseason addition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they spent most money on Brandon Williams to bring back their own guy, but their big offseason addition was for Tony Jefferson, who's been...
He hasn't done anything this year. I mean,
Look, I don't think he's playing poorly necessarily.
Yeah, he's not playing bad. He's not getting burnt every play.
He's doing nothing.
Yeah.
He's offering nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm so befuddled by it, man.
And was Jimmy Smith, did he get hurt again today? Was he sitting out?
I saw him for a good bit in the first half. Yeah, I didn't. I don't even know
if he was on the field in the second
half.
But
that's also what happens. The Titans are trying to run the ball more.
I
would have to look at the snap counts to see if there was something going on there.
Long
but yeah, on the outside play, it was Marlon Humphrey the one time.
Yep.
I don't know enough to know that. Larry, I'm not understanding why trying to get first downs, forget about winning games, is like pulling teeth. When points are at a premium, Justin Tucker needs to kick the ball because clearly we have nothing on fourth down ideas. Well, they did run that goofy fourth down play in the first half that worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the horrible spot at first because they didn't notice that Buck Allen had not touched the ground.
Down. Yeah, that was weird.
But it actually did work. It was a really goofy looking play, and it worked by the skin of their teeth in order for it to work. Yeah, trying to get an inch. Eric, you watch a lot of football like I do. I can't fathom why the Patriots can always get. Anytime they call a quarterback sneak,
Brady falls. He always
falls forward
home,
And he's easily finding a yard or two every time.
I mean, you would think that Flacco.
He's 6 foot six.
I was gonna say, aren't they the same height? Brady.
I think he's taller, right?
Is he taller than Brady?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know how he doesn't get like.
It's insane.
I know he may not want to after last week with stitches in his ear and you know his head still probably.
But they don't even call that. They don't even like.
I can't remember like the last time I saw Flacco trying.
Yeah, Brady's 6'4". I mean, it's
6'4". Okay.
It's nuts, and it always works for them. Mm-hmm. But it's not just the Ravens. It's every team in football. No other team knows how to always get a yard when they need it in those situations like the Patriots do. It's infuriating. Mm-hmm. And so they try to run the ball there in the last fourth down play on 4th and inches, and they get stopped in the backfield. Wesley Woodyard makes a great tackle. And
They went for it a lot. Well, they had the 2 fourth-down conversions, and then
they went
for it on fourth with that fake punt. That when I saw that, I was like, I don't know if Harbaugh, you know, because they were down, I think they were down 3-0 at that time
already.
Right,
it seemed
like, oh, man, Harbaugh's pulling this out in the first quarter?
You know, but
like,
that to me is the I don't think there was any way for the Titans to think that was coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made it so good. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that drive got bogged down. Mm-hmm. And you got the 3rd and 10 from the 13, and you threw it underneath to Benjamin Watson.
Yeah. Yeah. And he got stopped at the line.
Well, who has no ability at all to run after he catches the football.
It should be like, yeah, like wherever he catches the ball, the play should just die right there.
Right.
Like,
yeah. There should just be a rule. Okay. We're good. Yeah. Right. Just,
he's done right
I'm
there.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Steve Bolander, who do we hold accountable? The coaches for not coaching the offense well, or the front office for not bringing in the talent we need? Look, this has been another chicken and the egg conversation we've been having all season.
Mm-hmm. Last few years, I feel like.
Yeah, right? There's been a lot of that. They're 4-5 right now, so we don't have an answer yet. And we won't have an answer until after the season's over, right? Like, they're not firing. They could fire the coordinator. They're not firing John Harbaugh 9 weeks into the season.
This also doesn't feel like a game or like a stretch of games where they fire morning way. Like I said, they haven't lost 3 out of 4 going into the bye, or I don't know, maybe they have. But I'm saying, like, they're not getting their, you know, they're not getting the crap kicked out of them.
While I agree with you, Eric, I do think there's something to be said for if you're going to do it, you do it at the bye, right?
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I think there's something
to
be said for if Steve Bisciotti walks in and says, John, by the way, I just want to remind you, I know we gave you a 1-year extension, but, like, if this bottoms out, if you end up finishing 5-11. Mm-hmm. I'm not promising anybody anything.
Yeah. Makes sense.
You might want to think about what's best for this team
with 2 weeks to
right
go,
to make like, sure you've got some time right now. Presumably, they're going to have the guys go out there and practice a couple days this week because they're coming off a loss. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, teams make those decisions based on the result of the game going into the bye. Like, if you win the game going into the bye, they'll give you the whole stretch time off.
I think I saw, like, Brady was in, like, the Bahamas or something. So
right,
that,
correct.
That, you know,
win the game.
They won last week.
Everything's
so
different. Whereas if you lose your game going into the bye
you're not that good.
You're
practicing Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
something,
Sunday.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Something along those lines. Maybe a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, and then they give you off until the following Wednesday, so you still get a week. Technically,
I think there's something in the CBA too, right?
Yeah, you get a certain number of days, right? I assume the Ravens will be practicing at least somewhat this week because of it. Well, I mean, how could you not? And it'll piss the players off. It'll drive them effing nuts. But
it's one of those, if you want those days off,
yeah, right. You got to go win.
Yeah, win.
Yeah, you got to go win.
Play better.
Larry, Perriman is a joke out there as well. He is soft for an NFL wide receiver. There is no fight in his game. There is no, quote, that ball is mine, unquote. And I'm agreed, wholeheartedly agreed.
There's zero Steve Smith in Breshad Perriman.
Anquan Boldin, insert name
same
here.
Like he mentioned, that mindset that the ball's in the air and I'm going to do whatever I can to get it. Like there was the one in the first quarter, I think. He had a play down, like, into the end zone. And it's kind of like stuck his one arm out.
Didn't happen.
Ball hit his hands and it fell. Yeah.
Right. If it literally doesn't go all the way into my stomach, whatever.
And like, I don't know if he's soft, but he's just, I don't know. He doesn't seem to have it.
I don't know what the effect of the injuries is on him. Like, if he had never got hurt to start his career, would his career be different? I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But this is what he is, and you can either continue to throw him out there and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Or you can do something about it, and you can say, look, dude, you're not going to be on the field. This is the way it is.
But then
you're not going to be one of our top three guys.
Like you mentioned, it's like, who else do they have?
It's certainly an argument that I make all the time is, what's your better option? Mm-hmm. Right? I don't think you can make that argument any longer.
It's like the Orioles with the pitcher.
Right.
Like, Balda, who are you going to throw?
Yeah, our buddy Josh Soroka said that on the halftime show. He said it's trotting Balda back out there because, well, who else is going to pitch? Mm-hmm. At this point, I think you're literally looking at a zero. I mean, it's hard to make any argument. I know the argument from John Harbaugh, according to Rich Gannon, was, well, he practices well. And I get that.
Good for him.
And that matters to football. Like, it matters We talk about this all the time. There's guys that you don't understand why they're not getting on the field, and you regularly find out it's because they dog it in practice. Mm-hmm. You regularly find that out, and a coach says, I can't just let a guy continuously go out there, dog it in practice.
Have a bad practice, and then go out and play in the games, right. Which makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and I'm certainly sympathetic to that to some extent. Mm-hmm. Rashad Perriman can play as well as he wants to play in practice.
Doesn't help him. It doesn't help him on the field on Sundays.
He's hurting your team.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, he have two or three drops today? I think he had like four or five
that
catches.
And some that were just brutal. That were brutal, inexcusable.
His hands,
correct.
Just dropping them.
And you see these pictures of like he's there. The ball's right there. And then somehow it ends up as an interception the other way. And give who's the kid that's
Kevin Byard.
Kevin Byard.
He has six interceptions.
It's ridiculous.
Or he has five in the last 2 weeks.
It's absolutely insane what he's doing. And give him credit for the plays that he made. Well, but
he played the Browns 2 weeks ago, so that
that definitely
helps
pat those numbers. There's no doubt about that. Brian Powell says that I hear he's a resident Patriots fan. You can go F yourself, Brian Powell. Paul, once again, clock management and timeout usage came into play in the second half again, burned a timeout in the third quarter, and then Harbaugh decided it was worth wasting a timeout to challenge the fourth down at the beginning of the fourth quarter when it wasn't obvious he made it. You know, that's a big one that I haven't put up. That's insane. It's insane that they challenged that. And they had the end of the quarter to look at it and see that was never going to be overturned in a million years. Mm-hmm. That was absolutely a desperation. We don't like the result of this, and so we're just going to waste a timeout. It's insane, and he does deserve to be roasted over that. I mentioned this on the first one, the fourth down that they initially ruled short.
Yeah, for Buck Allen.
Was egregious.
Yeah, that was a bad call.
It was egregious. It was a terrible call. But even then, I said, look, it's really hard to get a spot overturned.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch any amount of football, you know it's very rare that a spot gets overturned. It has to be something egregious like, and credit the official for how he explained it. We did not realize that Buck Allen wasn't down because he was laying
on
top
of
another
guy,
player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was the obvious thing that you could see on that replay to show, hey, look, this can be overturned.
But it's not always that obvious.
Short
a lot of
that,
times it's not even close to that.
You don't really know exactly where the angle is a little bit
and
diagonal.
There's always a guy in front of the camera. Correct. And the ref is, you know, behind that guy who's behind another guy.
It is super hard to have a spot challenge overturned.
Mm-hmm.
It is super difficult. It is nearly impossible in such a short yardage situation when you're talking about the difference of an inch.
Yep.
It's an almost zero. The fact that they wasted the challenge there is utterly inexcusable and pissed away a timeout in that situation.
But it wasn't surprising to you.
No,
you did it,
no,
right?
This is what John Harbaugh does. Yeah. You're absolutely right. You and I were talking about this in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
This dates back to Andy Reid. This dates back to the school of clock management that he learned from Andy Reid, and it's just never improved. And I've said this before. I have to think that at some point this is an arrogance thing. We jokingly talk about anybody who's played Madden can manage a clock better than certain NFL coaches. And it's half a joke. But it's not really.
It's kind of serious now.
And at the same time, there are simulator systems that sometimes coaches are put through in training that aren't all that different than a game
Real
of Madden.
Life, yeah.
Hey, here's the situation. Do you know what you're supposed to do with your timeouts here? Do you know what plays you're supposed to call offensively to stop? There are coaches that are put through these simulators. These football simulators exist, and it's kind of like playing Madden. It's a little bit like that. I got to think it's an arrogance thing that you guys can worry about that stuff because you don't really understand how football works.
Mm-hmm.
When you play football, you can't think like that. Football's not an analytical game. It's an emotional game. That it's got to be an arrogance thing that it continues to be this piss poor because there's no way you can be
this bad
at something for this long.
For 10 years, yeah.
Right? And just openly say, I'm not going to try to get better at it. Unless it's pure arrogance. Unless it's pure, I know I'm bad at it, or I know you don't like what I'm doing, but go F yourself. I'm going to continue doing it.
I'm
going to
do it anyways, yeah.
It's insane. It's insane, man. It's absolutely insane. It was a terrible decision. It was absolutely unthinkable that they tried to challenge that there because it was never in a million years. And you had time to look at it. You had the entire commercial break.
Yeah, that's like 7 minutes long.
To see, we're not getting this overturned. Even if maybe there's some argument, the tip of the ball, touch the tip of the liner. Like, you can look
Yeah, they still probably wouldn't even overturn that. Yeah,
they're not overturning this in a million years, and so they wasted a timeout. And yeah, you know, there's also the question, and this is one that for some reason Gannon and Harlan didn't bring up. There's the question of when, in a two-score game or a 10-point game at the end of the game, you just abandon ship and you try to kick the field goal, particularly when you have Justin Tucker as your kicker.
Yeah.
And say, we need to give ourselves as much time as humanly possible
to score a touchdown
instead of putting ourselves in a position where either we get the onside kick or the game is over. Mm-hmm. The Ravens really needed to score before the two-minute warning because they only had one timeout left at that point. They needed another way to stop the clock. After they got the two-minute warning, it probably didn't make a difference.
Yeah, it was a lost cause.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be onside kick or lose mm-hmm. at that point once they got past the two-minute warning because they only had one timeout left. But there, that was a conversation that I was surprised wasn't coming up, which is, even if it's a 55-yard kick, do you just try it now?
Yeah, you go for it just to get it out of
the way.
Yeah,
make it a one-score game and then hope for the best from there.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, there was that series where, I don't know how much time there was left in the fourth, where they had the fourth and one or inches or something like that. And I know I was driving here on the radio. They're saying, you know, do you kick it here? Do you
right.
go for it and go for the field goal?
Right.
Or go for the touchdown? And I mean, like,
and it was
like,
only a 10-point game
it.
At that point
yeah, it was
as 10 well.
10-point game. I want to say it was like 8 or 9 minutes left. So right. it's like, you know, like I said, you take the field goal from Tucker, and then you get a stop, and then so you probably have 6 or 7 minutes left, and you know, one or two timeouts, and the game is all yours pretty much. You can do whatever you want. But I mean, I don't know. There's tough decisions that obviously came back to bite.
In a 1-inch situation, I understood the decision to go.
Going
if you
it,
can't
yeah.
go get 1 inch.
Then you probably shouldn't be out there.
Right? Mm. So just based on the distance, I was okay with the decision. If it had been 4th and 2 like it was the first time,
yeah,
no, kick the field goal.
Absolutely.
But 4th and 1 inch, you got to be able to go get an inch. Yep. Like, you have to. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have to. Obviously, as I say that, we all know what actually occurred.
Yeah.
And
hindsight.
I was completely incorrect about that, and so that's the situation they're in. Yep. Bob, did I read that Kubiak wants to return to the NFL as an offense coordinator? Yes, Bob, you did indeed read that. That is the word that Gary Kubiak, according to Jason Lockenfor of CBS, would be interested in returning to the NFL as an offensive coordinator. I wouldn't get too excited about it. I can't fathom them installing a new coordinator mid-season, mm-hmm. even if they were to fire Marty Morningweg, which I still don't think they're going to do, but as I've said a million times, I'd be all for them doing it. I have no problem with them doing it. I just don't expect it at this point.
Yeah.
It'd be very – if they fire Marty Morningweg, my gut would be they just elevate Greg Roman and say, you're going to call the plays the rest of the season.
Kubiak, like I said, he's not going to be a guy who's going to come in mid-season, like you were just saying, and come in mid-season and turn everything around. He would be – coming at, you know, Black Monday or whatever.
Right.
But they hire him a week later.
If you keep Harbaugh after the season, I could absolutely see a scenario where you call and gauge his interest.
Oh, for sure.
And now,
I'm sure they'll do that anyway.
Right. And if you're Kubiak,
what he says.
It might be a difficult situation for him where he says, look, I like John and I like you guys.
Aren't they boys? Aren't they friends?
They're friendly. You know, they weren't as closely connected as John is with some other guys, mm-hmm. but they were friendly. They had a good relationship. They had a good working relationship. And clearly it worked with Joe. And that to me is the absolute most valuable part of all of this mm-hmm. is that, you know, Kubiak
got the most out of Joe.
Correct.
Absolutely.
So for that reason alone, I'd be all in. But if you're Gary Kubiak, you say, you might fire your coach at the end of next year.
Forget a coordinator job. Why, you know?
Yeah, yeah, right.
If they fire Harbaugh, why not give Kubiak a call?
And the argument might be that Gary Kubiak doesn't want to be a head coach again.
Yeah,
the stress, given his health issues,
he'd
just
stuff in the past.
Rather stay away from all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. From Dave, it's hard to pinpoint the worst part of the Ravens' 2-minute offense. Is it the jogging, the pre-snap motion, the lack of field awareness, or the 5-yard outs?
I mean, we talked about it, and you saw Harbaugh screaming. I don't know if he was screaming at someone on the field or the refs, but you could read his lips saying, let's go, let's go. And I mean, I told you, I said, I looked up, and I'm like, these guys are walking to the line. They're jogging to the line. But
this all goes back to the Marty Morningweg offense, the mm-hmm. Andy Reid thing. They don't do this.
Yeah,
they don't have this in them.
What is that Super Bowl? What was the Super Bowl in 2004 when Andy Reid took his time? And
it's like watching the playoff game of the Chiefs from a year ago where they needed their last drive when they needed to get down and score took them 7 minutes.
Like they zero urgency, and it's like
they don't have it. That's not part of. And I don't know. I don't get to watch. Nobody gets to watch. Reporters aren't allowed to watch anything other than special teams practice mm-hmm. during the course of the season. So during like training camp, we see them go through drills where, hey, let's get up quickly. Let's do some things. I don't know how much they go through it, but this is not new. This is not different. There is no 2-minute offense that the Baltimore Ravens have. They just don't have it. And part of the problem, again, is they're not stretching the field. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem is there's very little threat to stretch the field right now. Like their threat to stretch the field is Breshad Perriman. Mm-hmm. How much of a threat is that?
And it's like Mike Wallace taking a slant.
Right.
You don't have the toy. Like, I'm trying to think back. The Steelers game, what was it, like a Sunday night or something like that a few years ago where they They had like a minute 50, and they went down, boom, bombed to Torrey Smith with like 8 seconds left.
And they
don't have that guy anymore.
When you have downfield threats, you can get better chunk yardage to the middle of the field. You can get 20 to 30 yards because there's so much of a threat to what you might do beyond that that the middle of the field opens up more.
Yeah, but when you're dumping it off to Ben Watson, and then Perriman drops one, and then Wallace takes one, and, you know, like you said, a 5 yard out, then it's, yeah, you're dinking and dunking your way down the field, and they can't.
None of this is an excuse. It's not an excuse for it.
No, and it's not new either.
Right. It's just
been the same conversation for years.
If you need the score in 2 minutes, the assumption from me is that you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Because they just don't. They don't have it. They don't have those horses. That's not the team
that they are. You'd think, though, that they would be like, oh, man, we got it. We kind of got to get ourselves going. And someone would say something. Like I said, you would think Macklin or Mike Wallace, a guy like that. Or even, I guess, Joe, you know, like a guy who's been there and been like, hey, guys, let's. Joe doesn't need the rah-rah speech. He can still be cool, calm, and collected, but be
say,
like,
hey,
let's
do this. Yeah, I agree. I hear you. It's just, for whatever reason, it does not exist, and it has not existed, and it is very frustrating.
I mean, I was fine with it today, obviously.
Well, yeah. You're a dick. All right, I need 30 seconds. Tell everybody about Par Excel, and then I got to God damn it. I have to, quote-unquote, sing this Shania Twain song.
You could do like they call that slam poetry.
Yeah.
Do that.
I would actually love to give it a shot. We'll come back in. We'll do that. We'll wrap it up, and we'll take a look ahead to what's coming up after the bye. It's the Project Game Day post-game show with Press Box, brought to you by Par Excel. Oh, right. I need to turn the button on. Ah, Eric, I'm supposed to hit this button, and then people can hear it.
The Par Excel Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, so if you're just joining us, oh, by the way, Josh Soroka gets in. Titans took a timeout during an extra point in the first half, which it was insane.
I wanted to know all about that.
Right.
It was like, oh, yeah, they called a timeout with what is there? It was like 5 minutes left in the first quarter during
someone
a
PAT. Suggested that there was too many players on the field.
Okay, but I was going to say, like, they didn't even say anything about that because I was like, what are
also,
they doing?
By the way, from the Titans, take
the
5 yards.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an extra point.
Ryan Suckup's made a million field goals.
Although he didn't end up missing an extra point.
Yeah,
humorously enough, right.
Naturally.
But the difference between a 33-yard extra point and a 38-yard extra point is not worth wasting a timeout.
That was very confusing. And like I said, it's like they didn't even talk about it. So I was like, what happened there? And
you're right. It was definitely confusing. Situation.
That was bad. It was weird.
Eric Arditi, Barstool RDT from Barstool Sports, is a Titans fan. By the way, why are you a Titans fan?
So my mom is from Pittsburgh. My dad's from Long Island.
Ugh.
So growing up, you know,
a lot of conflicted.
Well, yeah. I mean, the Ravens came, and I didn't really like them for whatever reason. My dad was like, don't like the Redskins. So I was 7 or 8 years old, and I'm watching football. And, you know, it was some primetime game or whatever. And I want to say it was like maybe it was Redskins-Titans on a Monday night. And I saw, like, Steve McNair, Eddie George, Wycheck.
The
two-tone
blue.
Good
team, yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I like that team. And then Music City Miracle that year.
Right.
Super Bowl. And it's just literally been downhill ever since.
Well, there's something to be said for that. That is true. We had the Vince Young year. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. There were moments. There were moments over the years.
Yeah, but then he went like MIA
one
day and they couldn't find him.
And then there was the 13-3 year that was ended in the
Kerry
playoffs.
Collins.
What happened that year? How did that
end? When the play clock hit.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Wait.
The 13-3 year.
Oh, yeah.
That's
when.
How did that end?
That was Flacco's rookie year.
Oh, that's right.
The play clock hit zero and the ball wasn't hiked yet.
Matt
and
Stover.
Then Todd Heap had that catch when the play clock hit zero. triple zeros. And then I seem to remember Ed Reed picking up Chris Johnson by his badly sprained ankle that game. And
I don't remember
Chris
that
Johnson
at all.
Was out for the rest
Ed Reed
of the
was
game.
A gentleman. Yeah, he was a gentleman.
That
a
was
scholar.
I will say that was the first night I ever blacked out. 100%. 100%. That's a true story, too.
That's pretty funny. So he's a Titans fan. So earlier in the week when we decided that Eric was going to come in here and do postgame with us, he suggested maybe we come up with a bet on the game. And so I said, well, look, this is easy. It's Nashville. It's the Titans, right? Everybody's down there this weekend. I tell you what, if the Titans win, I'll sing an embarrassing country song of your choice.
A lot of embarrassing
country songs. There are a lot of embarrassing country songs. But I said, but if the Ravens win, you have to perform Baltimore's greatest musical moment, which, of course, is the Thong Song by Cisco. I think everybody knows that's the best contribution that Baltimore's
ever had.
Pretty
much the Baltimore National Anthem.
There are places where they won't stand for the National Anthem, but
they'll
they
stand
will
for that song. For the Thong
they'll
song.
Do a lot of things for that song. obviously, it ended up being the Titans winning, and before the game at kickoff, I put out a poll with a list of embarrassing song options, and this was the winner. So I will do my best here. I make no promises, as I don't remember the last time it was that I heard this song. It's been quite a while, but this is "Man, I Feel Like a Woman" by Shania Twain, because the Ravens lost today. Let's see how this goes. I really don't remember this. Let's go, girls. Hang on. I think I can do it. I just got to remember it kicks in.
It's coming up.
I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. I'm going to let it all hang out. Want to make some noise. Really raise my voice. Yeah, I want to scream and shout. No inhibitions, make no conditions, get a little out of line. Ain't gonna act politically correct, I really wanna have a good time. The best thing about being a woman is the prerogative to have a little fun. Oh, 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 go totally crazy. Forget I'm a lady.
Oh, I love it.
Men's shirts, short skirts. Oh, 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 really go wild, yeah. Doing it in style. Oh, 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 get in the action. Feel the attraction. Color my hair, do what I dare. Oh, 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 I want to be free, yeah. Feel the way I feel. Man. I feel like a woman. All right, you're getting that much from me.
Do you know
you're
why
getting
we lost
that much.
All the viewers?
Oh, they're all gone?
That's so weird.
You're getting that
I wonder why.
And nothing more from me. You're getting no more from me today.
That was good, though. That was very good.
I lived up to it, right? I would never back out on such a thing. Right. I would never do such a
that
thing.
That was, yeah.
Actually, you know what? That song's kind of a jam.
It's a head bobber.
Kind of a jam. Right?
I wouldn't turn it off if it came on in the car. Definitely would
be embarrassed
off.
To admit I'd the exact same way. The exact
I might
same
turn
way.
Turn it up a little bit, actually.
Oh, God.
Depends
all right.
who I'm in the car with and where
right,
I am.
Right, and if they can know. If they can know the real me or not. Yeah, it's a great point. All right. Ravens now have the bye week, and they will have 2 weeks to regroup and figure out what it is they're going to do moving forward. As I said, the only significant change I could fathom, well, one significant change is we think they're going to get Danny Woodhead back after the bye. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that makes the offense look like. I don't think it suddenly drastically changes the offense.
Yeah, but it's like, what does that do to the running? I mean,
correct. I mean, you can only have
Alex. Do you take carries away from Alex Collins? Or?
Correct. I mean, Danny Wood, it's not going to be a traditional back.
Yeah,
right?
he's not going to get.
And I think the argument from most people would be you're best served having him split out wide more.
I was
given
I was
what
thinking,
you have at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, yeah.
Try him out there a little
you
bit.
You do what the Panthers are doing with Christian McCaffrey, or
they
what,
should be
or,
doing with Christian yeah. McCaffrey anyway.
Or,
yeah.
or you just do what Woodhead's been doing for the last 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's I mean, as long as he's
put
healthy,
him, put him anywhere. Put him anywhere and.
Yeah, I think that's probably your best bet for how you use Danny Woodhead. And so that will help. I think that Danny Woodhead being on the field helped. We saw the way they were able to use him in the first game of the season before he got hurt. It looked like a decent fit. And that was before they had a runner that they even had faith in Alex Collins. But, again, it becomes a situation, are you too does it become too predictable that you have certain backs in the game for certain situations?
Yeah, and you know exactly what they're going to do.
And that's the issue.
Does he still have more receiving yards than Perriman? I don't think. It can't be anymore. It
can't
be anymore.
I can't fathom that, but it was super close.
It was like that
right
up until,
that.
Like,
it's
2 weeks ago.
Terrifying.
It was that, which is that's
God,
bad.
That's so awful. That's one change. Oh, sorry, I got to fix that. That's one change. The second question is, would they do the drastic thing and change a coordinator during the course of the next 2 weeks? I'm still betting against it, but it also wouldn't stun me, right? Like, how could you be stunned? The offense has been terrible, right? Mm-hmm. If they walked in tomorrow and said, yeah, we're going to try something else with the coordinator, say, fine, by all means.
But also, I mean, you know, when did they fire Cam Cameron that 1 year?
That was like
week
4 weeks left.
That was like
I mean,
week
it was right
14.
At the end of the season.
Yeah.
It was right at the end of the season.
And so it's not like, I mean, you know, they've done, not crazy, but they've done
it
things
just
like
seems
that before.
Like
where
if there was a time, ideally, if you had to do this in the middle of the season, ideally, the bye would present a good time for doing it.
Uh-huh.
I still am betting against it, but it's just a, if you're going to do it, now's probably
now's
a good time
yeah.
as any in
yeah,
order to
they're
do it.
They're not going
to
have a better time to do it than right now.
And then I think there's a real question about Breshad Perriman and how it is they use Breshad Perriman the rest of the season, whether or not they continue to put him out on the football field. And those are the things that I think that they will need to rest before they take on the Green Bay Packers on the road on November 19th. A game that obviously loses a lot of luster because there's no Aaron Rodgers, although like they're talking about Aaron Rodgers getting back sooner and sooner. It's not going to be by November 19th, obviously. But
I don't think we see him play.
I don't think either, but if they hang around, nothing would stun me.
Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't shock me if he did, but I'm not.
Yeah, if I'm betting on him, right.
Yeah, coming back. But yeah, like I said, if they're like, oh, they need to beat, I don't know who they play week 17. If they're like, oh, they need to beat the Bears, you know,
yeah,
to get in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah,
then
absolutely.
I may.
These are two games that we thought were going to be incredibly daunting: Packers, Texans, right? Like, and
it's
all
suddenly,
of a sudden, they look both like they could be winnable games. Now, again, we have so little faith in the Ravens that we don't think that anything's much of a winnable game.
And that Texans, that's a Monday night game. Too,
that's a Monday night game
here in Baltimore.
Yep.
So, yeah, now I think with Watson in there, you were probably.
Oh.
Probably saying that's an L.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, I would probably, as an outsider, be like, oh, the Ravens win that game.
At home, yeah.
Especially,
I mean,
seeing Tom Savage today.
No, it's terrible. He's so bad.
Hey, his first career touchdown pass, though. Like 138.
Good for Tom Savage. So that's what's coming up out of the bye, and we'll see what happens there. You got a big bye week ahead of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a decent little bye week on tap.
Got a nice party on Saturday.
Our buddy RDT is getting married next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations, bud.
Thank you. Like we were talking about, you know, we're having the reception down in Baltimore. I'm not saying where, so half the listeners don't, you know, show up knocking on my hotel door.
Right.
But we were,
actually just going to call all night.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you're pissed drunk and when you can't see straight, I'm just going to keep calling your room throughout the night. We once did that to Bruce Cunningham.
Oh, I'm sure he loved that.
I love Bruce. And you got to understand, I love Bruce. Bruce is my buddy. But Drew and I one night were drunk in Foxborough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the Ravens. It was the playoff game where Ray Rice had the
long
the run.
First, yeah, the 88-yard.
And then they threw the ball like four times all game.
That was a weird game.
Yeah, it was the weirdest game ever. But we stayed in Providence the night before, and we got – you know Providence, they roll up the bars at like midnight?
Why?
Like,
wait. They go to the bars?
No,
they leave?
Like close the bars at like midnight. It sucked. So we had to like pay the hotel bar. Like, we had to plop cash down in order to get them to stay open that night because we were out. We were having a good time. We weren't ready to roll up. I, like, walked in. I emptied. I'm like, here's all the cash that I have. What will you give us? And will you let us stay down here?
Can we sit here?
And just empty out. Like, give me 20
I'll
beers.
Finish people's empties that they
right,
left.
Give me 20 beers right now, and you can go ahead and close.
I'll leave the key. I'll lock
right,
up.
Yeah, yeah. Would you? And they're like, all right. And they're actually very cool with us. They did a lot of favors for us that night.
Nice.
But we got hammered. We went back to the room, and we started
prank calling.
Pranking. Because we knew that Cunningham was staying at the team hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. A lot of guys stay at the same hotel as the team.
Yeah.
And so we just kept calling over there and calling for his room.
I'm sure he loved that.
Oh, my God. It was, if you guys keep doing this. I don't think I ever told him it was us either.
Well,
he might have just found
out.
Chris,
yeah.
I love you. It wasn't
definitely
me. It was Forrester.
Out.
That's who it was. Oh, I was part of it. But it was mostly Forrester. But anyway, sorry. I interrupted
No.
You.
Yeah. So we're happy that the bye week came at that week. Yeah. Because it works out perfectly. So.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Congratulations.
I'm excited. Thank you. Thank you.
At BarstoolRDT on Twitter.
Yep.
And BarstoolSports.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you've got plenty of Wade Miley thoughts coming. And
I'll be honest. I haven't blogged in a few weeks just because I was MIA without a computer.
Okay.
Very hard to blog.
Yeah, it's
very
difficult.
Cell phone.
Right. Yeah.
And like I said, wedding planning and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, once you know, obviously baseball just wrapped up, so
yeah.
everyone's depressed.
Technically, free agency is underway.
Yeah, I think that morning I tweeted out how happy I was that Ebaldo Jimenez is
no longer Baltimore
yeah.
Orioles. The terrifying thing, however, is officially Manny Machado's in his contract year.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
damn.
Officially, as of this moment,
yeah,
Machado's in his contract.
It's not great, but yeah, I mean, you know, I'll have some thoughts as soon as stuff starts popping up. We'll have the winter meetings coming, and I'm sure that the Orioles will do a whole lot.
Oh my God,
there.
So busy. Busy.
Yeah, you know them. They'll
running
sign
things up the flagpole. That's what they'll be doing for a week. Telling you why they can't sign certain players. That'll
did
be
see who is it? Like MLB Trade Rumors put out an article talking about they like their top 50 free agents and where they think they're going to go.
Carlos Gonzalez,
it was
right?
Like Carlos. Yeah, it was Cargo. Jason Vargas.
Yeah.
And was there one?
I think they said they had somebody coming back. I think it was one of the Orioles' own free agents.
I know they had beef going to Oakland. I don't know who else.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. Well, like I said, the Orioles are gonna make a huge free agency splash.
No, they won't. But they
they'll
should
have
spend money on
left-handed pitcher, and they're gonna.
Something.
God damn, we're
something
gonna get Wade Miley back.
Correct. That's exactly how it's gonna go. You figured it all out.
They're gonna get Wade Miley back.
Hey, buddy, I appreciate you coming in and hanging out and doing this.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Enjoy the wedding, man.
I will.
It should be a really, really good time.
I hope so.
I'll be back tomorrow morning, 10 to noon, Glenn Clark Radio, pressboxonline.com/radio. Thanks to RDT, and Rita will be back for us 2 weeks, and we're back after the bye. This has been the Project Game Day postgame show brought to you by Par Excel.